Over 16 years of pastoring, I've facilitated premarital counseling for about 25 couples. And one of the most important things we talk about is each person's family, the family they grew up in, because of how dramatic of an impact it has on how the couple will function in their new family. Every family is different. Some families make a big deal out of birthdays or holidays. I've had more than one bride-to-be who said she had a birthday week. Others don't. Some families are very close-knit, doing a lot of things together. Others have greater individual autonomy. Some families have their thing that they center around, where the whole family comes to, whether it's athletics or church or music. Others are more decentralized, where every individual member has their own thing. Some families struggle with addiction. Others struggle with unhealthy behaviors that aren't driven by chemical use. In some families, the parents have remained married, while in others are blended families. Every single family is different and has a different way of functioning. And every single family's strength has a shadow side. For example, families with a high level of connection can feel suffocating sometimes, especially when you have a marriage and the person who's coming into that family is not used to that when they go do everything together. And while some autonomous families can feel rather disconnected, no family is perfect. And whenever couples begin a new family, they will carry both healthy and unhealthy behaviors with them in this new family they're starting. Those behaviors carry into the church as well. We use family language a lot, especially here. You notice that? We use family language a lot. And the church is described as a big family, after all, with God as our Father and Jesus as our brother. But let's be honest. Church families don't always act in a healthy manner. And anyone who's belonged to the church for more than a month knows that. You especially know that if you've been in a leadership role. Church families, like all families, have the capacity for unhealthy behaviors. And often those behaviors are driven by anxiety or fear or mistrust. Just because we've been adopted into the Lord's family through our baptism doesn't mean that we don't have to contend against the old sinful creature and its ways of being all our lives. Belonging to Jesus is not a magic cure-all. Our hearts, like those of the disciples, are often anxious and fearful. And the disciples are in that anxious, fearful place today. At the beginning of our gospel reading, they know that Jesus is going away, but they can't receive that news as anything but bad. They may think that Jesus is abandoning them. No fear is more primal than abandonment. After all, what's a kid's greatest fear a lot of the time? The mommy and daddy aren't coming home. Or that, you know, as the comedian Lewis Black once said, of getting left behind at the grocery store. That's one of the primary reasons we might fear death. And in an interview, Mr. Rogers once said, "What are we scared of as far as death's concerned? We're scared that there won't be anybody there to feed us or to take care of us." For these disciples, abandonment might as well be death. Not just of their spiritual family, but of themselves too. They're so captured by their fear and grief that they can't trust Jesus. They can't trust that Jesus is going away only so that he can return to them in his resurrection and in the Holy Spirit. So these are who Jesus is preaching to. Friends whose fear and grief has made them imperceptive to the gospel. Friends who think that they are being abandoned. Their hearts are churning seas with chaotic waves of fear and grief. But into this chaotic storm comes this command, Don't let your hearts be agitated. Don't let your hearts be disturbed or troubled. Have faith in God, that is, have faith in me. The clarion call to faith in Jesus sounds. Jesus is not abandoning them. Jesus follows up on that with this amazing promise. In my Father's household, in my Father's family, there's plenty of room. Plenty of room. There's room, there is space. This is not so much of a description of place as it is of space. There's space for all in God's family. Despite the chaos of the world, there is space for you. There is space for me. And even and especially, there's a space for those who have no space anywhere else in this world. About 16 years ago or so, my home congregation, Bethany Lutheran Church of Elkader, Iowa, adopted a statement of welcome. It's a little dated in some ways, but it is worth reading, and I am going to read the whole thing. We want it to be a public record that those of all racial and ethnic groups are welcome here. We want it to be a public record that people of all sexual orientations and members of their families are welcome here. We want it to be known that those who suffer from addiction to drugs and alcohol, whether recovering or not, and their families are welcome here. We want it to be known that women and men, girls and boys, are welcome here, and that they will not be harassed or abused here. We want it to be a public record that in this congregation, you can bring children to worship. And even if they cry during the entire service, they are welcome. We want it to be known that those who are promiscuous or have had an abortion or have fathered children and taken no responsibility for them are welcome here. We want it to be known that gossips, cheats, liars, and thieves and their families are welcome here. We want it to be known that those who are disobedient to their parents and those who have family problems are welcome here. Let it be public knowledge that we at Bethany Lutheran Church take seriously that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The young and old, the rich and poor, all of the broken are welcome here. We want it to be public knowledge that we are justified by the grace of God and given the gift of redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. We offer welcome here because we believe that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Christ did not die for us after we showed signs of getting it all together. Christ loved and still shows love to us while we are yet sinners. Sinners are welcome here. Sinners like you and me and like our neighbors. Let us not condemn the world, but let us proclaim to a broken and hurting world God's forgiveness and grace. We want it to be a public record that since we are a sinful people, we will not always be as quick to welcome as we should. Let us be quick to admit our sin and seek forgiveness. May God give us the grace to welcome and forgive one another as Christ has welcomed and forgiven us. Do some of those kinds of people offend you? Maybe so. The gospel, the grace of the gospel is both radical and offensive. Radical in the scope and offensive in the kinds of people it reaches out to. Everyone has a place in God's family. Full stop. Especially those who have no place anywhere else. And maybe today you might wonder if there's a place for you in the family of God. There is. And Jesus has made it so. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me so that we could have a place in his family forever. so that there would be space for us. That's true no matter what kind of family we come from. Jesus has brought us into his own family, his own household forever. So don't be troubled, anxious, or fearful, no matter the turmoil you may be going through in your own life or the turmoil in the world. Don't be troubled, anxious, or fearful, no matter the storms that might rage in your hearts. Jesus has welcomed you from the moment of your baptism and even before. Jesus welcomed you. There is indeed a place for you. Amen.